For more information on ancient dragon Zen Gate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good evening. I've received a call to clergy of all faiths for a faith convergence at Standing Rock, where the Standing Rock Sioux Nation is encamped, standing up to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And it's a call for clergy to come to help and stand with the Standing Rock. I'm not able to go to North Dakota this week with various things happening here, but I thought I'd talk about it at least tonight. I'll read the call. This is dated October 25th from an Episcopal priest named John Floberg. Dear brothers and sisters, I write to my fellow clergy of all faiths today to invite you to join me on Standing Rock Sioux Nation on the banks of the Missouri River on November 3rd. We will gather to stand witness to Water Protector's acts of compassion for God's creation and to the transformative power of God's love to make a way out of no way. I have been serving for 25 years as the supervising priest of the Episcopal churches of Standing Rock in North Dakota. In recent days, the repressive power of the state has increased. Armed riot police are guarding ongoing pipeline construction, increasing arrests, and repression of nonviolent prayerful action. At the same time, Osseti Sakowin water protectors have reclaimed land never relinquished by treaty directly in the path of the pipeline and established a new camp. Our duty as people of faith and clergy could not be clearer, to stand on the side of the oppressed and to pray for God's mercy in these challenging times. We need your help at Standing Rock. I invite you to join me and other clergy November 2nd and 3rd. Our vision is a day of protective witness and solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux Nation and with the water protectors. We will gather Wednesday for nonviolence training and fellowship, and on Thursday we will act. I know this invitation is last minute, but these are extraordinary circumstances. I hope you will sit in prayer with this request, and I pray that this may be the opening door that you have been searching for to engage with all that is happening here in North Dakota. God's best, John Floberg. So as I said, I'm not able to go myself, but I am responding to this call by speaking about Standing Rock tonight and encouraging you to respond, and encouraging all who hear this to respond. Wendy Nakao, the abbot of Zen Center of Los Angeles, the Mizumi Roshi lineage, maybe Ken knows her. Yeah, and I did Zuise with her in Heijin's Sojiji in Japan, ceremony of recognition by the Soto Shu. She is going there with four other Zen priests, and also from Clouds and Water, with Jenny Obst, who practices with us sometimes as well, but she practices there. Sosan Flynn and Laura Kennedy, two priests from there, are going. So there is a gathering. John Floberg followed up today his call by saying 300 clergy have registered to come and stand with Standing Rock. There's 16 different faith traditions represented. 10 of those are various Christian traditions. We made a call for 100 to come and stand with Standing Rock, so 300 are coming. I am humbled by the response by these people, faith communities, to come for a peaceful, nonviolent, prayerful witness and solidarity with Standing Rock and the hundreds of indigenous nations that are standing with Standing Rock. So there are now thousands of people there, people from the Lakota tribes, all seven of the Lakota tribes, gathered for the first time since the Battle of the Little Bighorn, plus many, many other Native peoples. So I want to talk about what's been happening there. I think I've talked about it some before. I think it has, what's happening there is an important event in our country, and has a lot to do with our practice as well. Another report about, from another, well, written by a reporter talking about people who are going there and what's happening. So I'll just a little bit of background. The Dakota Access Pipeline is, for those who don't know, is a pipeline of North Dakota fracking oil, which is made through very dangerous chemicals, which are pumped into horizontally into the deep into the ground. Using very toxic chemicals. We don't really know what they are. They're proprietary. And then this pipeline is going to be going through several states, through South Dakota, through Iowa, into Illinois, and eventually this oil will go down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to cross under the Missouri River, which, and given the record of these pipelines spilling, it's a danger to the water in the Missouri River. It was originally going to be just upriver from Bismarck, North Dakota, the second largest city in the state, and the people of Bismarck objected. So they moved it to north of the Standing Rock Dakota people's reservation, and showing the racist aspect of this, and the Standing Rock people have been protesting, and they've been violently suppressed. Going back to early September, where dogs were used and pepper spray, and basically they were attacked by security people of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And now armed riot police are guarding the pipeline, increasing arrests and repression, heavily armed with tanks and batons and dogs and pepper spray and armored personnel carriers and rifles aimed at the native peoples who are praying and standing there peacefully and unarmed, helicopters dropping pepper spray. A little more about this. They've brought in police from different areas. Our Minnesota area deputies. There have been masses of arrests. In many ways, this is parallels the civil rights movement of the early 60s. In terms of the repression, and what these people, this encampment, the largest encampment of Native peoples in well over a century, thousands of people from all over North America, from Alaska, from South America, and various non-Native allies are doing is just trying to stop this pipeline. The effects of it, as well as their water protectors, and they're trying to protect the water from being poisoned. So I want to talk about the background of this a little bit and how it relates to our practice, which is communion with all beings. Our practice is to basically about benefiting all beings. One of the precepts that the people who are taking lay ordination in a couple of weeks will be saying, to liberate all beings, to relieve beings from suffering. So our practice is, you know, personal. We talk about our ancient twisted karma, and that's personal, but it's also collective and systemic. We're not separate from, as individuals, from what happens in our world. So we had a wonderful speaker here last Wednesday from the Black Lives Matter movement in Chicago. A few of you were here. Talking about the karma of slavery and racism and reparations, and you know, we're also affected by that in our own lives and here in Chicago. We're all affected by that. There's the idea of being white is something that was Edward talked about that in terms of how that was originally there were slaves who were both black and white, and then they bonded together to oppose the slave owners early on in the 1600s, and then the Irish slaves, for example, were given some greater power over, even though they were still slaves, over the black slaves, the African slaves, and so that they were you know, divided and seen as having higher status. So there's this complicated karma legacy of racism and slavery and now mass incarceration that's part of the world we live in, on the society we live in here in Chicago and throughout our country. And also, of course, as well as our economy being built on slavery, it was built on taking the land from Native people. This land used to be Potawatomi land. We have one person in our Sangha, at least, who is partially descended from Potawatomi people. But 500 years, for 500 years, people of European extraction have been taking the land, and the land that the Standing Rock people are trying to defend, the land that was bulldozed in early September, they told the courts the day before it was bulldozed that this was burial grounds and sacred lands, and then the Dakota Access Pipeline people came in with their bulldozers the very next day and bulldozed over it, and the Dakota people tried to, the Sioux people tried to defend it and were attacked with dogs. This is what's happening there. So people of faith are gathering to try to, you know, not that we can undo the karma of taking the land from Native people, but this also has to do with how our water, how our earth, how our lungs are being poisoned. So, you know, we have our tradition, our adopted tradition of this practice of sitting on the ground, on this floor, and settling into awareness of this body mind. This ancient tradition of that we do in this form of zazen, you know, is about touching the ground. It's about connecting with the earth. This is an earth tradition, this tradition of Buddhist practice. And this tradition of our, this legacy, this karmic legacy of our country, of exploiting the earth, of expropriating the earth from the native peoples who had a deep, you know, not not without romanticizing it, but a deep connection to the earth, communal connection to the earth. Now we exploit the earth. We're draining it of fossil fuels, and through that we're destroying human habitat. So what the Standing Rock encampment is doing is also trying to stop the increased use of fossil fuels, the continued use of fossil fuels, our human habitat and the habitat of many other animals is and plants is being changed, and we're now at 400 parts of carbon dioxide in the air. So it's 350 was supposed to be what's safe, and now we're at 400, and it's going to take a lot to reverse that. Glaciers are melting, the Arctic is melting. This is, obvious the effects this is having on not necessarily causing all the forest fires in California and all the storms in the Atlantic, but increasing the severity of them. The so-called extreme weather, which the meteorologists on television won't even refer to climate change. I think it's illegal in Florida, where they tried to pass a law to make it illegal to use the word climate change, and yet they're threatened by it. So this denial, which is paid for by the Fossil Fuel Corporation in the media and in our government, why the mass media doesn't have much coverage of what's going on at Standing Rock. And yet, I think what's happening and the courage of the Native people standing up to the Dakota Access Pipeline is one of the most important things that's happening in the world today. So I'm responding to this call by talking about it here and celebrating the courage of these people. It's not just Native peoples in North Dakota, although I think, it's really important that indigenous people now are standing up against fossil fuels. I think this is something that, for indigenous people, and this is happening actually around the world, to lead the struggle against the increase of fossil fuels is really important, but this same pipeline is going through Iowa, and farmers are having their lands taken by eminent domain, which is supposed to be for public works, but actually it's being taken for this privately owned pipeline. So in Iowa, farmers are opposing this pipeline, and the pipeline's actually going to go under the Mississippi River too. So given the history of spills and breaks in these pipelines, this is a danger, a public health danger to everybody downstream from Standing Rock and the Missouri River, and everybody downstream from the Mississippi River. So it's just really interesting that while these Native people are gathered peacefully praying, standing in front of lines of police and National Guards people paid by our tax dollars who are opposing them with tanks and rubber bullets and rifles aimed at them, who are representing these privately owned fossil fuel companies, it's really interesting. Again, Buddha, when he was awakened, touched the earth. This is what Buddhas do when they realize complete awakening. They touch the earth. And the earth is what is sacred to us. So I'll just read, I have Some more things that I can share. There are ways that we can help from this distance. So Shodo Spring, who has been here and spoken here, who's a Soto Zen priest who's up in Minnesota, she has a farm called Vairochana Farm. You can go to her, if you just Google Vairochana Farm with a C-H, V-A-I-R-O-C-H-A-N-A Farm, you can find a long list of links to ways that you can help. And there's a, if you go to sacredstonecamp.org, there are lots of links about ways to help. Things, donations that can be made to the Standing Rock Tribe. There's a link for, and if anyone wants copies of these, you can email info@ancientdragon.com and I'll send you the whole page. But and I think I sent some of this out in the monthly email, but for the people in Iowa who are opposing this in solidarity with Standing Rock, there's a link at MississippiStand.com. So there are ways that we can help even at a distance. There are many petitions online to President Obama, to the governor of North Dakota, to Hillary Clinton. Interestingly, one of our two major presidential candidates is heavily invested in the Dakota Access Pipeline. The other one has said that Native peoples should have the right to peacefully protest, but also that pipeline workers should have the right to continue building pipelines. So anyway, we have an important election coming up, and afterwards we have to work on this. There's an article, I have a few extra copies out front, from Bill McKibben, who founded 350.org. And I'll just point out a few things that he says. Well, just to, again, stress the obvious environmental racism involved in this. They intentionally moved the site of the pipeline crossing the Missouri River from Bismarck, this large city in North Dakota, relatively large, to the site of the Standing Rock Tribe, which is, you know, has the Standing Rock Reservation, it has a poverty rate nearly three times the national average. It's like watching this, and Bill McKibben says, this has been like watching the start of another Flint, Michigan, except with a chance to stop it. There have been statements from President Obama and other politicians about, you know, addressing climate change, and yet still the company building the pipeline has pushed the local authorities to remove protesters from lands where construction has already desecrated indigenous burial sites with law enforcement agents, government agents, using tasers, batons, mace, and sound cannons. So anyway, this is the situation. The determination and the courage of the Standing Rock people defending their land. This is treaty land that's guaranteed to them by treaties. And they see themselves as water protectors, protecting the water from being poisoned. There's an address, Sacred Stone Camp, P.O. Box 1011, Fort Yates, North Dakota, 58538. I can give that to anyone who wants, where you can send support. So I'm responding to this call to clergy to support Standing Rock by sharing it with you all, and hope that you will talk about this and with your friends and share this information and respond in whatever way you can, sending donations. They need blankets because the North Dakota winter is severe, but they are determined to stay through the winter, trying to block the pipeline from construction with its fracking oil. So this is not so far from us, relatively, and it affects us. This pipeline will come to Illinois, and it affects the climate of North America and the planet. So thank you for listening. And comments, questions, responses, please. And I wanted to mention in this context, Laurel's going to be giving a talk 3 weeks from now, on the 3 weeks from tonight, about a trip she made to Africa and her witness to what's happening to there in terms of climate. I don't know if you want to say a tiny bit in terms of as a preview now, but just how this is all related around the world. Maybe you could say something now. Well, you have a few weeks, but just to, you know, if I would love to just for you just to describe what you saw, you know, since we haven't seen it. So, Bill, did you have something?
I have two questions.
Yes.
One is just what is being prayerful in a Buddhist context? And second, one thing I've been wondering about is, are there national forms of organization of indigenous peoples, and what are they like? I imagine they're involved in this if there are such.
Yeah, this is it. So, and this is it. So, what we did tonight is Buddhist prayerfulness. We could say just to sit and be present. You know, our practice, I think, you know, a lot of people come to meditation wanting some refuge, some help in terms of each of our personal problems or situation. And that's part of it, you know, it's not separate. We each have our own, this is something I've tried to talk about for a long time, that we each have our own patterns, personal, individual patterns of grasping and anger and confusion. And that's something we deal with and respond to and see and become aware of as we sustain our practice. But they're not separate from the things that are happening in the world, the pattern of racism, the pattern of what's happening with the climate. And and the effects of, I mean, specifically the two. There's so many. We can point to so many things if we look at history. But the karmic legacy. We talk about our ancient twisted karma. We each have our own pattern of ancient twisted karma. But in this country, the legacy of African-American slavery and racism and the legacy of what the Europeans, you know, have done to the Native Americans. And it's still happening to the Native Americans. The Native American reservations are probably the poorest places in the country. And what we did tonight, we chanted the Enmejuku Kenongyo, the Kanzeon. This is the short sutra for protecting life. That's what that means, Enmejuku Kenongyo, the short sutra to the Bodhisattva of compassion for protecting life. So it's a call for support for life. And so I feel like we dedicated that tonight to the Native peoples and to the Standing Rock encampment. So this is being prayerful. And, I think, yeah, we could say that. And chanting and... So there are many Buddhist traditions where chanting is the major practice. We do meditation and chanting, but they go together. But also being close to the ground, you know, being on the ground, being present in our body, mind, and then pilgrimage is another huge practice in Asian Buddhism. And I think it's already a practice in American Buddhism in terms of Buddhist practitioners going around to different teachers. We've had many people come here who have practiced in other places. And many of the people who practice here regularly have practiced previously in other places. And going to Standing Rock as some Buddhist people are doing and other clergy also is a kind of, you know, is a way of being that. So when in the dedication we do at the end of our chanting, we dedicate the energy of our practice to specific, you know, we mention specific ancestors, sometimes we have a well-being list. But we also dedicate this to all beings. So, and then for Native Americans, amazingly, despite the best efforts of European settlers, Native American spirituality was not wiped out. The American Indian movement in the early 70s sort of resurrected it. It was underground for a long time. It was actively and violently suppressed for many years. So maybe some of you know this history, but I've studied it some and worked with it some. So there are places around, and parts of it have died out. But there are traditions of sweat lodges and various other spiritual activities that have been shared between different Native peoples. And now what's happening at Standing Rock is amazing because there are thousands. I don't know how many. We don't know how many because the main roads in have been blockaded by our police and military that we pay for with our tax dollars. But somehow people are getting in anyway. And we don't know, but there are thousands of people there, Native peoples there, and others, allies. There have been Hollywood actors who've come, and some have been arrested with them, they're doing spiritual practice there too. So this is what's happening now. Standing Rock, North Dakota, is a major event in Native American history. There have been others, but yeah. And how we deal with the karma of, you know, the karma of what has been done to the Native Americans is part of the karma, I believe, of what's happening to the earth and the mass extinction and the deforestation and desertification. Desertification, is that the word? Yeah. And for us to be aware of that and to pressure governments and representatives and corporations to respond, because change happens not from elected leaders, but from people, from movements like the Standing Rock movement. We have on our altar now, I was down in Albuquerque visiting our affiliate Sangha that Kazan helps lead. There's a new incense holder that's from the Jemez Pueblo, from a modern potter on the Jemez Pueblo, but that's where in, I think, 16, maybe you know the story, Brian lived there in Albuquerque too, but there, I think it was 1680, 1670, where they threw the Mexicans out for about 50. Spanish. Yeah, the Spanish. They threw the Spanish out for about 50 years before they came back. And then when they came back, they were more, they worked more with the Pueblo peoples. So that was one rebellion that was, you know, helpful in some ways. Yes, Jen.
I've been watching Democracy Now, and there's a huge puzzle, and that is that the people who occupy the Malheur habitat place were acquitted. They were all acquitted, and they're not going to be going to jail. And these were people who had actually pointed loaded guns at FBI agents.
You're talking about in the Pacific Northwest, the right wing militia people.
Oregon, yeah. And so nobody could understand why the Indians or the Native Americans in North Dakota are being arrested by the dozens, and all of these people.
Oh, the hundreds.
Yeah.
And
these other people were simply acquitted when they had obviously and clearly committed crimes. I don't know if it was a federal case or if it was a local case in Oregon, Washington.
I think it was a federal case. They were.
And it was a federal prosecutor it was speculated that the federal prosecutor didn't do a very good job, but nobody really knows why it happened that they were acquitted. And so I wanted to mention that because, you know, the men who were acquitted were all white. So I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, yes, so just to, we're running late on time, but just, yes, obviously there's a lot of question about our justice system that comes up with all of this, and obviously in the case, in terms of the lack of accountability for police murder of unarmed blacks and... but in this case, in the case of Standing Rock, where we have police authorities blatantly defending a private corporation against people peacefully protesting, it's so stark. And yeah, the contrast to that other cases is just part of that. But there's clearly, there's a racial component in that. So thank you. Yeah, Douglas? Go ahead.
The group that had occupied the national park, their position was the federal government had illegally taken possession of public lands. There's a lot of public sympathy for that in the West, and they didn't get a jury to convict them. That's a little different from government exercising power over demonstrators. I don't think that that's a racial component, maybe for the jury to say, in their view, we're standing up to an oppressive federal government. It's just a very
Yeah.
It's unfair to say one that's racist and not to have equated.
Yeah, I don't know all the aspects of that, so it's a different situation anyway. Yes, Brian.
I think one of the issues around race that does make sense to me, I've heard in the last week or so, is and also gender, and it reveals, I think, this kind of the way in which we're inured to racism and sexism in our culture. Like if you can imagine how outrageous it would be to end up in this country with a group of heavily armed black men had taken over federal property, or if Hillary Clinton had talked the way Donald Trump did, had been talking about women, if she talked them about men, about grabbing their marches, some of the rating of the books. I mean, the very fact that it seems so outrageous when you picture the other group doing it tells you the bias that we all have.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem quite as outrageous for included for a presidential candidate who's male to be saying these things as it would if there were a black group taking over or a woman saying these things.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, difficult time we're in, and I don't want to get into advocating for any particular candidate or party because we're a 501c3, so I'll just leave that. And it is time to stop, so we can continue informally, but there is an election a week from tomorrow, and please vote. And please vote not just for president, but for the state and local races as well. And thank you all. And I just want to encourage everyone to continue to follow what's happening at Standing Rock. It's really important. It will become more important after the election when all of that is. I don't know if it'll be settled, but anyway, this is not going to go away, the situation there in Standing Rock, and whoever wins, situation with fossil fuels and climate and the Native Americans bravely standing up to this will be maybe even more of a story. So. As a Buddhist and as a clergy person, I want to express my support for them and hope you will continue to look at that. And there are lots of petitions online that you can sign if you're so inclined. So thank you, and let's close with the four Bodhisattva vows.